Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Pan, and how deeply grateful I am you are with me on this beautiful May 20th, 2018. We're going to do potpourri. We're going to just take questions that have basically all sorts of different themes to them, and I thought that would be fun for today. And I'm very grateful to the people who email me and offer me their questions. It is very, very important to me and important to everyone who listens to this radio program that we kind of have a little community going on here where we work with each other, or I get the privilege of working with you and helping you with some of the questions. I want to remind you that this radio program is supported solely and entirely upon the loving gifts of my sponsors. They are the ones that make all this happen. I would not be on the air here, nor would I be able to have television and offer you what I do there without the loving support of those people who are sponsors, and I want to thank them. I also want to invite you to come and join us in this little loving get-together of support. Aspire does far more than just what you're hearing here on the radio. I do hospice work. I volunteer in all sorts of different places to help people who are having great difficulty in their life. And so I just want to let you know that your gift goes a great deal towards helping others. If you go to the website at aspire.org and take a look at support, click on that, a drop-down menu will ensue, and you can read all about where your donations go and what they're all about. I hope you will help us. I get all sorts of different questions. All of them are fascinating to me and intrigue me, but every so often I think it's fun not to have a theme, but to go from one thing to another, just for the heck of it. So I thought I would do that for today's program. First question comes from Justin, and he just says he listens from Texas. He says, how can I see how I love? That seems rather strange and awkward, Justin. This is a very good question, Justin, and I'm very grateful for it. This comes from the Buddha's teachings in the Dhammapada. See how you love and what keeps you from the journey. What does that mean, to see how I love and what keeps me from my journey? What is my journey and how do I love? Well, you know, this goes down basically, Justin, to just pure emotionality. To see, first of all, where I love from. Where do I love from? How do I know what love is? The first thing we will do is check out the love in our emotionality, which comes from our body. So anyone who does anything to relieve struggle in my DNA to survive will get my affection or get my admiration. Another one is if you rub my skin correctly, you will get affection from me. Pat me on the head, put your arm around me. And that will definitely get a reaction. I will have emotions of affection or emotions of gratitude for that. And these are purely human emotions. Someone who cooks for you, someone who cleans for you, anyone who does any kind of thing in the world for us gets an emotional reaction. So that is part of the big problem with us, because with that can come disappointment, disillusionment, anger. There's all sorts of things that come from that kind of quasi-love. And most of us keep it that way. We live in that kind of love, which is nothing more than mere affection. And hence, we miss the meaning of what it is to truly love. See how you love. When Buddha said that, he was saying, what is the way of your love? Are you only loving out of genetics, DNA? And you will see that most of us are, to, you know, the nth degree of our life. We don't truly just love. We love because someone did something for us or someone gives us something. They love us because we did something for them. So we have this mutuality going on. See how you love means I love this way, you love that way. Our affections can kind of meet in the middle, and goodness knows, here we are loving each other because of a mutual admiration that we have for each other. I don't think people want to see, Justin, that we love out of the necessity for fulfilling our gratifications. I don't think we want to see that human love very much, because if we do, it can get downright ugly, just ugly. I love you if you love me. I love you if you don't do this. I love you if you will do that. Oh, I love you for this, that, and the other. And then guess what gets to go in the opposite and equal reaction? Yes, my hate. Hate can turn into love very rarely. Love can turn into hate very frequently. And that's the problem with human love. It is all based on the premise of how we are emotionalizing our life. A great deal of our life is spent in emotion and emotionalizing everything we think, say, and do. Everything has its place in our emotionality. So when you start to think of emotions and what they mean and how they work, you start to understand the nature of what it is to be in a human body living by human morality, or if you can transcend that through meditation, inner work, you begin to see a more profound love that you are a part of, that you are in essence. You are this love that I am about to speak of. This love is what the pedestrian mentality calls unconditional love. But there is no such thing as unconditional love. Everything has its conditions, okay? This is a very important thing for you to understand. Everything has its consequence here on earth. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. And we've come to this very famous, comfortable, cozy little thing called unconditional love, which means that no matter what I do, you'll love me. Well, in a human sense, that is absolutely impossible. In the spiritual realm, you are love, so there, you know, that exists for you. But there are conditions to love. The moment I step out of my divine love that lives inside into the body and human love, there are going to be results for that. There is going to be circumstances that arise that are going to be difficult. There are going to be all sorts of little things happening in my life that show me how I love. I love you when you're doing what I want you to do, or I hope that you would do. And I don't love you when you don't do that. And we have seen this in ourselves. We see it. There are consequences for the way we love, the way we think we love, the way we give, the way we receive, the whole thing. Life is full of consequence. And once you understand that, then you understand why things happen the way they do. And that's what Buddha was saying. Everything is in the order of how you love. And the consequences I face in my life and the ones that you face in your life, Justin, are all about the love that we have, or the love that we think we feel, or the love that we think we believe in, or the it all has consequence and begats. This will begat that, will begat that. You fall in love, you think, with someone. Think you're madly in love with them. And then you marry them. And you find out that there are difficulties between the two of you, the things that when you were in the hybrid of your emotionality, you were not acknowledging with each other. Maybe he's cheap, or maybe she is inattentive, bullheaded. Who knows? I'm just throwing things out, things I've seen over the years. And then all of a sudden we have this surprise. This is the way you are. I didn't know this. And then the begat starting. People have children under the guise of emotional love, and pretty soon they have maybe one or two, maybe three, and the pressures of having those kids get more and more, and one of them or both of them flip out, and then they don't want to be with each other. See how you love. What were you loving? What was this all about? Some people are fun to be with, and you can love them from afar. And then others, you know, you get into the wedlock thing and it's mayhem. So you've got to understand when to hold them, when to fold them, and what it means to truly love. And that is what life is all about, what we truly are as love. So Justin, there, to see how you love, it's really about seeing where you love from. Do I love from the heart of my heart? Or do I love from the emotion and the passion of my body? And most people, 99 and 9/10ths, I have found in this world, will only go to the body. Because the body becomes, after a while, very difficult to live in, to lug around. And we have to serve it all the time with the right food and exercise and all sorts of things to earn a living, blah, blah. And we never really see what this is all about and what it's doing to us. And that's the sad part. We just never see it. And then it turns into something it doesn't need to. And our whole cycle of living is based on the idea of who loves me and who gives to me, who loves me and who gives to me, who loves me and who gives to me. And that's the end of that. And that's the end of a person's life, basically. I hope that helps you. I really do. Please forgive me. Namaste. It's a tough one to see how we love. It's so insulting for people, just really, really insulting. Okay, the next one is Ed, and he does not tell me where he lives. Greg, I find that I hate myself, but I cling to everyone. And everything I do, I find that I hate them too eventually. Do you think this shows how much I hate myself and others and how I cling to them in hopes of being loved? Ed. I don't know, Ed. I mean, I don't know you. I don't. This one's a tough one for me, but the reason I chose it is because of the I hate myself thing. Human beings have a love hate, quote unquote, with themselves. They in turn, I find, love to hate. This is why we have political junkies and people on the radio, talk radio. It's all about who we hate, who we dislike, who we like. We have a great deal of difficulty with hating ourselves, great deal, but we don't see it that way. We don't see that we hate ourselves, so we go out into the world and we do very hateful things, not really understanding why we are doing those things. I do everything in my life out of hate. That is a very important thing for you to understand. I do everything I do in my life out of a sense of hate. I know it doesn't look like that. I know you want to think, oh, I love myself. I'm absolutely love myself. But I think you will find if you go on a little further and a little deeper that you don't. That you don't. And that your love is conditional based on things that are done and undone and things you do and things you don't do and blah, blah, blah. So you want to know if all this shows. Well, sure it does. It would show, but only to a person who was adept at what they were seeing when they're looking at you. I think you're asking me, and I could be wrong here, that does it show and can I hide how I feel about myself and others? I think that's what you're asking me. Yes, you can. You can hide it. The pedestrian mentality will not pick it up. It won't understand what you're doing or how you're doing it or why you're doing it or anything. No, you'll be safe. No one will probably understand because you will blend into the collective unconscious of all the people in this world that are like that. And there are tons and tons and tons of people like this in our lifetime. So if you hate yourself and you are trying to hide that from others, I'm sure you can do it through the auspice of your morality, of keeping people's attention away from you and hating the things that are mutually agreed upon that we hate, and just keep it going. But I'm going to say this to you. Though you are able to do that, it will seep into you. It will definitely seep into you. It will seep into your life in different ways where you will have glass ceilings where you know, gee, I could have that or this could happen, and it just won't happen. There is nothing more important, Ed, than forgiveness in this lifetime. Nothing. Through forgiveness, we acquire spiritually the greatest attribute a person could ever have. And that is mercy. You become merciful. And when you can forgive yourself, then you can also at the same time forgive those who, as Jesus said, despitefully use us. This is a very important thing for us to do. To really, really listen and to forgive those who may have intentionally or unintentionally done anything to hurt us. And what can a person do? How can they hurt me? Well, they can only hurt me emotionally. And that's as far as it can go. And when I feel those emotions being hurt, if I take exception to it and want to fight about it or be ugly about it, I do not change anything in the gestalt of my life or the livingness of my living. I did only make things worse as we go down the road. We spend the first 21 years of our life perfecting our self-hatred, all of us do in one way or another, and trying to make it go away or hide it or conceal it in some way or learn how to even live with it. And then we spend the rest of our life living that stuff out. And then in our later life, in our 50s and our 60s, we kind of see what we've done with our life. And it shames us because we haven't developed forgiveness nor compassion for anyone or anything in our life. And hence, it becomes a very sorrowful golden years, as they like to call it. And it's not golden. They're very painful years. It is best to forgive quickly and never allow yourself to fall into that thing where you cannot release, let go, and let love live you. It's a very important thing to learn to do. If you are adept at it, if you have any sense of love or kindness or whatever, you will work upon your forgiveness modality. But it doesn't sound like to me, Ed, that you're interested in that. You just want to make sure people don't see it, and maybe that you don't see it. I don't know. Everything that is going on in this life is revealed to us one way or another. So I don't know what to say to you other than you need to work on yourself. That's all I can say. I hope that helps. Please forgive me. Namaste. The trouble with a question like this is that most people won't work on themselves. They just won't do it. People don't think they need to, or they can get along without it, or it's just ridiculous, or anyway. The last question comes from Kay in Los Angeles. She's always there with us. Why work upon ourselves when all of this seems so useless? Everything just goes back to the way it always was. I don't see why we would work upon ourselves. Kay, we work upon ourselves because everything doesn't just go back to the way it was, unless we just don't change. Change is a very big deal. And what does it take to change you? What does it take for you to find deep, profound change in your life? A change that would revolutionize your life and uplift your life and change the way you operate in your life. How would that be? This work upon ourselves, I understand. Most people just want to make cosmetic changes in their spirituality. They I won't hate you anymore. Okay, I'll meditate. I'll struggle through, and maybe in the struggle, I'll get it. It isn't like that. I have to do something that creates separation. Separation, in my case, from the Gregory. I have to separate from that. And to do that, I have to remove myself from listening to everything that he is harping on me about and acting upon it. If you choose not to act upon it, then you have something really wonderful. You have really worked upon yourself. Something of the other shore is starting to happen, and you have something beautiful occurring. This is a magnificent thing to do with your life. Also, giving up gratifications. Oh, this is a hard one. People can't correlate gratification with the strength of the glue that emotions have, and then we identify with ourselves as those emotions. So when you and I back off a little bit from our gratifications, when we're no longer that much interested in what gratifies us, I don't go listen to things that cause me to feel justified in my self-hatred or in hating another person, for example. That would be a good one. I don't entertain gossip. I won't talk about other people. I don't get involved in that because saying unkind things about another person doesn't change anything in my life. And when that occurs, when I am doing all of that, I am taking my emotions and gratifying them through hate, thinking that it's a positive thing to do or a smart thing to do or the better thing to do. And that just wouldn't be true. You have to see how you love and what is important to you. And once you understand how you love and what is important to you as love itself, you start to realize that mercy and forgiveness are very, very important, Kay. They really are. They're the most important thing in our life. Everything doesn't just turn out the way it was when you're truly working on yourself, because you're separating from, in your case, the Kay, and in my case, the Gregory. Now, all this sounds very difficult to understand because most people can't go there, but it's a very loving place to go. It's a very beautiful place to go. And if you're smart and you're in your heart, that will help you, because you will see the meaning of everything upon the face of your lifetime. You will see it all. You will see the meaning and the substance of what it is to let love live you. These are very, very, very important things to do inside your heart. People, basically, deep inside, K, they don't know what their life is all about, and they're not sure what their living should be. And most people aren't doing what they like to do, what they love to do, and they don't know what the meaning of their living is. So they just hate, and they never work upon themselves. They never try to understand the depth and the clarity of what it is to allow love to be the major part of their life. They don't do what they love. They do what they have to survive. This causes a tremendous amount of stress and strain on the psyche. So there's a lot of things that are important about working upon ourselves. It's just that most of us, as the human of the being, just don't understand. I hope that helps you. God, I hope that helps you. Please forgive me. Namaste. I'm out of here. Thank you for listening. Thank you for this weekend. Have a beautiful, beautiful day. And I'll be back on the air next week. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.